Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review Domaine du Bel Air Jour de Soute, which is a Cab Franc from the Loire Valley. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
You know, it's good to be here, folks. It's good to be here, Rob. Yeah. Viva la France.
Viva la France. On tonight's show, we are going to do one of our, what we like to call a deep cut on the second episode. Jewel B is gone to bed, and we're drinking a wine that is a little more interesting.
Obscure.
Yes.
Well, somebody likes Cab Franc, though.
It is a Cab Franc.
Who likes Cab Franc?
No, she doesn't like Cab Franc.
You do.
Well, I don't know if anybody dislikes Cab Franc, really. I mean,
Triple B?
No, she doesn't dislike Cab Franc. But then again, it's like one of those grapes where you're like, meh. I mean, it's blunt. When you ever have a straight Cab Franc, you're like, okay. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily, though, blow my skirt up, per se.
Well.
But it's okay.
It'd be a bad time to blow your skirt up. Well, be a little tender down there.
Anytime. Well, that's true. Now, on tonight's show, we're doing a wine from the Loire Valley, from Bourget in the Loire Valley, that AVA.
Or Bourget.
AOC, as it would be.
Bourget.
I know. And this is Pierre Gauthier, the Domaine.
Gauthier,
is it?
Yeah.
Domaine du Bel Air, Jour de Soufre. And it's from, and it is their Cab Franc. Well, it's Cab Franc. Let's just call it Cab Franc, because that's what it is. If you know the Loire Valley, and it's a wine area that we've not really focused much of in, and that's unfortunate.
We've been there. It seems that we've had a blend from Loire Valley.
Well, I'm sure we have drank wines from Loire Valley, but it hasn't been something that we've really done much of a deep dive.
Nope. Well,
Sancerre is there, which is very lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Chinon, which is Cab Franc, just another part of Loire Valley, is very, very lovely. These are all very, very lovely wines, quite frankly. Why we haven't done it, I don't know. Maybe we just haven't gotten around to it since we burned through everything else.
Well,
I mean, we haven't even done a lot of from Burgundy either, partly because it's expensive as shit.
Expensive as fuck.
But Loire Valley isn't. It isn't as expensive. It is somewhat reasonable. So that makes it a little more accessible and a very, very interesting place. I'm excited about this wine for a lot of different reasons. First of all, this is around $20. Just somewhere around there. And Cab Franc, when done correctly, is going to have wonderful floral elements. It's going to have a lot of different aromatics that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a bigger wine than, say, Gamay from Beaujolais, which is Burgundy. But good Gamay has a lot of those aromatics, a lot of those interesting
similar
elements.
Similar quality.
Yeah, and similar mindset. I guess it's the mindset that we're talking about.
Doesn't always have to be big like that. Sometimes they can be soft and subtle.
Well, no. It's bigger than Gamay.
Bigger than Gamay.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that it's big, but yeah.
We should expect some minerality.
We should somewhat, yes.
A little bit. It's not going to be this big mineral bomb, but
no.
We're going to be disappointed if it doesn't have some.
But good savory fruits, you know, and maybe a little bit of a woodsy tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, though, should make a very, very inviting wine, a very, very warm, inviting wine. But beyond that, we have many things to discuss tonight, many very, very interesting things.
I'm nervous.
I am, too, because I haven't figured out what those things are.
Interesting? Yeah. Of course you haven't figured out what interesting things are.
I know one thing we can tell. Because on our most recent episode, it was the Krios Cabernet.
Mm.
And on that, we discussed heavily Andrew Cuomo.
Well, he's a bad man.
He is a bad man, but there's a worse man out there, isn't there?
Oh, boy.
And so we're going to talk about that worse man from the Florida man. The Florida man. I don't understand. What do you mean you can't do that? I didn't know you couldn't pay women by Venmo. Anyway, we might talk about him a little bit.
Oh, what a dumbass.
Oh, it's going to be fun. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some political commentary.
What?
Maybe not as serious as you normally hear it, but, you know, hey, whatever. And we're going to drink some lovely, lovely French wine. And so we're going to be drunk while we do it. So what could be better than that? So when we get back here, we're going to break this wine down. We're going to break life down. And we're going to love life here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the Jour de Souf from Domaine du Bel Air in the Loire Valley in Bourget. Yes.
On the nose.
There are no reviews for this, but I can tell you a little bit of interesting information. Well, not much.
You know, I thought I saw a review on this.
No, it's a stainless steel vat aged, concrete vat fermented, and large format barrel aged. So there's a little bit of oak, but not...
But concrete cask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fermented. Not unusual.
No. And then the large barrel, folks, remember, the more contact the wine comes into the barrel, the more oak it imparts. So when you have these large barrels, less of the wine is going to necessarily be in contact. So you're going to have a lot of more subtle oaking. And that's what they're going for in this. They're just going for a kiss. They're not going to go for Freak Show Cabernet.
Is this like an Andrew Como kiss or?
That would be Freak Show Cabernet.
Oh, okay.
Come here.
I want to kiss you.
Let me put my big meat hooks around your neck. You look so lovely. Have you ever been with an older man?
Have you ever been with an older man?
No, she hasn't. Why would she have been? You mean like my grandpa? Was that what? Fucking nasty bastard.
He is a nasty bastard.
Why would someone that was like 70? Well,
because listen, men are pigs, dude.
Well,
men are pigs.
Just disgusting.
No, they
are. Come here. Come here. I'm so handsome, aren't I? Trust me. Let me show you from a picture from me from 1955. I was dashing then. I was 40. Now I look like a bullfrog. But then I was gorgeous. All right.
Cab Franc.
In the glass, it's beautiful.
It really is.
I love the purple hue. It's very dense looking. Purple hue. There's no translucence.
Almost inky.
It is.
Almost inky. It really is almost inky.
The nose has a kiss of vanilla, raspberry, and a slight bit of cedar notes. Light.
I'm going to say a little pencil lead?
A little bit. I would agree with that.
I love this nose.
Mm-hmm. And that would make sense.
This is one of the best noses. Mm-hmm. We've had in a long, long time.
No, from you would expect a little pencil wood from this area in this grape.
And there's also, there's some sweet fruit there. There's
absolutely. Raspberry. Yeah.
And that's just a nose, folks.
It's a lovely little nose. Let's drink this.
I don't recall a better nose than this in a long time on the show, my friend. That is joy as soon as it hits your palate.
It is. It's. Oh.
First of all, this is easy.
Oh, it is easy. It's mouth filling. It is.
It's everywhere on your tongue.
a very high-bodied wine.
Particularly the last swallow.
Yes. On the back of your tongue. It's a very filling mouthfeel. I wouldn't call it full-bodied, but it certainly goes down that road.
We need to print that review.
Oh, we're never getting rid of that. We're putting that up there.
That needs to go on the wall.
Oh, my God.
SLR 213.
I remember the last show. The last swallow. The
Jesus
back of my
Christ. Charmaine.
It took it all 65 down.
65 and older.
Yeah. It's not full-bodied, but it is very close. It's plush mouthfeel. And the tannins yes. that are on the finish are surprising. They're well done, but they're surprising.
I think part of the structure of this wine, the tannins really don't show themselves until really, 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 really late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just there at the finish.
Dense and chewy. Oh. Could go for another 2-3 years in the bottle, definitely. Do they have any more of this on there? No, I bet they don't. The people that know what they're looking for bought it all. Yeah. I'm sure that there are fans out there of this region that know what this is. And when they see it, they're like, I don't need to see a review. I don't need to know. I buy it. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Let's break this fruit down.
Mm-hmm. A tart blackberry.
Yes.
Let me take another drink.
I like a little strawberry in there.
Oh, yes. I would agree with that. And blueberry. Gobs of blueberry, too. Dark chocolate. Then little notes of cedar at the very end as it goes into the tannin. Light.
When was the last time we had that on the nose and then it demonstrates on the palate?
I know. This is a wonderful, it emulates the nose quite well through the palate.
Mm. And then this, just that got, nice tannic finish.
Scott, this is a snowy night. Watching the snow fall. You're sitting by a fire.
Yeah.
Looking out the
window.
I was going
to say fireplace.
Watching the snow come down.
Yep.
That's what this is.
Yep.
Wow.
It doesn't need food.
No.
This is end of the day.
Christmas Eve night.
Wow.
I'm going to buy some of this for that. That's what this is.
I wonder if Triple B would enjoy this. I think she would.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe not right now with the acid reflux that she's suffering.
It's so easy. It's just... Okay, is this red wine 101? Probably not.
Probably not. No.
But, you know, if you're the red wine drinker that you mainline the same varietal every night, every day, the same thing, okay, it's probably not for you. But if you've danced around the red grapes,
yeah,
you're going to love this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, if you haven't had a Cab Franc, this is a beautiful thing. Just dial up a Cab Franc because of this episode. Find your little wine shop that, brings in the little from small producer French. Scott,
but from France, not from California.
Yeah.
No, okay. Not from California, all from right. France.
Okay.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I've done several Cab Francs from California. They're fine, but they try to treat it like a Cabernet.
Sauvignon. They just don't have the terroir to be what this is.
No. And it's not, even though it's Cabernet Franc, it's not Cabernet Sauvignon. Those two grapes are not the same.
Not even close.
It sounds like, oh, well, they're the same thing. It's both Cabernet. No, they're not. And they need to be treated differently. They need to be approached differently. They need to be looked at differently. This is more akin to Grenache or Syrah than it is Cabernet. I mean, or even, hell, Gamay or Pinot. It has more of those characteristics than it would your Cabernet.
What would you say it's closest to? I would say
this one particular?
The Grenache and Gamay. Like if you cross those two.
reminds me more of something that would be slightly less guttural, but a Cote du Rhone. You know, your Syrah, your Mourvèdre, your Grenache. Somewhere in that kind of a rangy blend. Tastes very French, which is probably why we like it, but... I would enjoy this wine if I was doing something bougie. If I was at an art gallery walking around looking at art that I didn't understand, but I wanted to pretend like I did. This has happened before.
You just you put the headset on and you just listen.
No. I don't need a headset. I go, oh, interesting.
The wine, though.
Yes, the wine.
What about the minerality?
It's not the focal point of this wine.
Describe it. Go for it's my dusty gravel. This wine almost has four sections.
Evergreen. It's a slight bit of pininess with the cedar component, which kind of flows with that. And then just the ever slightest bit of slate / river rock kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very faint. Really, what I'm tasting is like the pine kind of evergreen kind of thing going on there into that bit of cedar.
It almost has four separate sections. And we talk about a front, a mid, and a finish. This wine almost has four parts because that... The tannins, that traditional finish where the tannins kick in, is so late in the wine. There's this unveiling of the finish that begins before the tannins hit. That's almost like a third part before the fourth finish.
I understand what you mean.
Well,
there's two finishes.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
It's the flavor finish, and then there's the tannin.
Yeah.
And the tannin are grippy, slightly chalky, and lovely. They're perfect.
Don't remember a wine that finishes this way.
No. But the tannin, if I was going to show someone what tannin was, that's what I would show
them. And
not necessarily the longest or the biggest, but some of the best representation of tannin in a vacuum from a technical sense,
yeah,
that I could show you.
It's
simplistic.
Yeah. This wine's easy.
Imagine the first time.
It's got a lot going on, but it's easy.
Imagine the first time, because I've never been around a person like this, that has never drank wine before, and then would drink something like this. Think about that. So you've never had wine before, ever, 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 ever. And you're going to go into these flavors. First of all, say you've had grape juice. Think about any wine, whether it be this wine or other than Freak Show, that'd make you vomit. But so your first sip, and you can't do this in your mind, but imagine that awakening. Say you liked it. The presumption that you thought it tasted good. You bring this to your lips and you think, well, this looks like Welch's. This should be sweet. I know what this is going to taste like, right?
Oh, no.
I bring it in. It's dry. And it just it has such a unusual characteristic that you don't necessarily think something that looks like that could taste like. Dry and grippy. Then makes you say, well, why do we find this to be delicious? It is interesting. Isn't that interesting? I think about the first red wine I ever drank. And it was some sort of shitty Merlot. It was at a 1.5 liter. It was... Vendage? Yes.
No.
What was the one that I said?
Classy.
The petite, I said the white Zin was the one white Zin that people thought was legitimate because it was a bit drier. What was that? It wasn't
Vendage. Well, when white Zin first came out, it was dry. It was semi-dry. It was not the sweet thing it is
but
today.
But even in the late 90s, really. What was that? It started with a V, didn't it?
Yeah. There's,
you know what I'm talking about.
You might have it. Vendage.
I think it was Vendage.
Robert Mondavi sold a lot of white Zin.
Behringer sold a lot of white Zin.
Behringer sold a lot of white Zin. Behringer was probably the keystone White Zen producer.
We, at the Andersons, we were dicks. And so. Well,
we still are.
We kept. Because they had vintage years on the Behringer White Zens. So for fun, and it didn't cost anything, they were $5. We had like four different vintages of White Zen for a Behringer. And we put it in the locked up case. And acted like it was a vertical.
It is.
We also did it with Ars Vetus. And we had the different receipts. And somebody came in and they go, is that for sale? Because I collect it. No, it's a joke. And they were like, but oh, that's really great. I have a collection of that myself.
Did you sell it to them?
No.
Why not?
It wasn't for sale. It was a joke. That was the whole point. He's like, oh, I collect White Zen too. I collect that exact White Zen. I don't have that vintage.
The joke would have been if he actually sold it to them.
We should have for a profit. Although I did that plenty. Have you ever had this Chardonnay? Oh, you want a great gift for your girlfriend that's going to be make or break? Oh, here's this shit no one will ever buy. I'll sell you the Trefethen Library Series Chardonnay. She'll love this. Oh, she doesn't drink that much? Yeah, that's what she wants. Here you go. We always had that. We had a few on the shelf. You're like, oh, I know what to do with you. Okay, you're going to get the...
You're a bad man.
I know. I would do that. Oh, well, where'd that go to? I sold it. You're a bad person.
You know, speaking of bad men. Speaking of bad men.
Oh, I know. Well, we'll get to him shortly. Scott, would you like to buy three bottles of Penfolds Lagrange 1996 vintage? How much did you pay for that? It's $500 if you bought it on wine.com. What would you pay?
Well, I you know.
What if you wanted a bottle of, well, several bottles of 1996 Lynchbage Pouillac?
What?
How much would you pay for that?
I'm not buying $500 a bottle of wine.
What would you pay for it?
If price were no, if I had the money.
Yes, if you weren't a broke dick.
No, that's $1,000 a bottle, isn't it?
Try 2.25. Now, let's just say, at the store that it's at, you can also buy 2009 St. Francis Chardonnay. Would you like some of that? That's only $7 a bottle. Would you like some of that?
Where is this store?
But would you like? Now, you don't want the Lagrange. How about 2010 Penfolds Thomas Highland Cabernet or Shiraz, who cares? They don't even make that Highland shit anymore. But you can buy the 2010. Would you like that?
Where is this?
How about...
Is this the Odd Lots of wine? What is this?
That's not your speed, right? Okay. How about some Lindeman's Bin 65 Chardonnay? But you don't want the current vintage. Why don't you buy some 2014 of that? Want some of that? This is a wine shop. It's ABC Liquors in Ashland. It's Ashland Beverage Center in Ashland, Kentucky. They have what they would think to be a wine shop, but they've never actually walked around and realized their shit has been there for 50 years and no one's ever bought it. I've been going in there for, I don't know, 10 years. Folks, they still have that same shit. And by the way, all those bottles sitting upright. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Old ass silver oak. You want some of that stuff? There you go. You want some 2000 vintage ports? They got them. They got a lot of them.
But they're not stored properly.
No, because back at the same time period, they bought a bunch of expensive shit that no one ever bought, and they don't know what they are, so they've never been able to sell them. So I went in there this week to buy bourbon, and all the bourbon prices down there are sky high. 10, 15 bucks higher than
everywhere.
Well,
bourbon's sky high.
Not as much. It's more expensive down there than it is up here.
Huh.
But I was like, no, I'm not going to buy a Buffalo Trace for $38 a bottle.
What?
I'll pass on that. But I went in there to buy something for Greg and my brother-in-law. And
Greg DeCama, man.
Yes. Becky assumed that I would buy something in there because something needed a paw. Because I have rescued wine from there before. I felt everything in there was already dead on the vine.
So. Yeah.
It's like I buy some 09 St. See, I hadn't been in there in a year and a half. Because of COVID, I hadn't been down there in a year and a half. Last time I was in there, they had that same fucking case stack of Fetzer, or not Fetzer, of St. Francis Chardonnay. Over a year and a half ago, they had the same damn case stack.
Mm. Mm.
They don't even like, it's crazy. So folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have some interesting thoughts about someone who uses gel, has a coiffed haircut, and has dirtbag friends in Florida.
Bad man.
Here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, Scott, you have anything you want to talk about?
Oh, I'd like to talk about Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz. What a gooch. This guy. Okay, let's forget about Cuomo. This asshole, first of all, has that scumbag. Okay, for those who don't know, Matt Gaetz is a congressman out of Florida that uses a lot of hair gel. He absolutely does nothing other than be a douchebag. You know, he's basically on Trump's Johnson.
He's got a nice chin.
Yeah, whatever. His dad was like the Speaker of the House in Florida or something like that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. So his daddy's rich. And so he's rode his coattails to somehow get into Congress.
Third term rep.
Yeah. He's got a
state of Florida.
He had a buddy named Greenberg or something.
Yeah.
And this guy was a kind of like a Bitcoin kind of, he had like a cryptocurrency businesses and all sorts of stuff.
Something like that.
And so then he ran for county, I don't know, some sort of county office, but he's making like mid six figures doing it, which is more than what Gaetz is probably making. I don't even know what it was called. County controller. I'm not sure what it was. And so this motherfucker, but did a lot of things. But one thing he liked to do was be a pimp and, you know, find women to, you know, engage in sexual acts in exchange for money. And one of those people that were very friends with him was Matt Gaetz, who apparently, allegedly, engaged in those type of things. Did you see the picture with them and Roger Stone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's very cozy. Which Roger Stone was a felon anyway until Trump pardoned him. But that's okay.
Well, just because you're pardoned, you're still a felon.
You're still a convicted felon.
Yes, yes. You're just a pardoned convicted felon.
So this asshole, you know, he's not Cuomo. Cuomo is different. Cuomo's like, why don't these women find me attractive? I don't know why.
You're short.
Come here. I'm going to put my meat hooks around you and kiss you. No. Gaetz was like, I've got a credit card. How much do you cost?
I didn't have a credit card. I used Venmo.
Oh, you used Venmo, yes.
It's Venmo. By the way, if you're an elected public official, when you use the Venmo, turn your transactions to private.
Here's the question.
If you're going to use your buddy, the sex trafficker, to arrange your soiree.
He's like, I'm a very generous partner. I would pay for hotel rooms. And it's like,
yeah, okay. What an idiot.
Why are you transporting?
That's your example?
Why are you transporting your girlfriends around? It's a little odd.
Why are you paying for your friend's hotel rooms?
I'm a very generous partner.
A partner in what?
Why? Partner.
You know who pays for hotel rooms? Guys that are having sex with underage girls.
Why wouldn't they just stay with you if they were your girlfriend? Wouldn't you be in that hotel room too? I don't understand. No. I'm very generous. I pay for them wherever they go. I bring them to me so they can be where I am at.
And in hotel rooms. Very generous.
I'm a very generous partner. It's like, what? On a transactional basis, apparently. Yeah, so then he goes on Tucker Carlson. He's like, you know that time you met that girl. We were at, I have no recollection of what you're talking about. He's like, I don't know who she and this person is. He's trying to rope Carlson, and I'm sure Carlson was involved, but still, whatever. Yeah. The thing about Gates that he doesn't quite understand about himself, when you're engaged in that type of behavior, where you're a very generous partner. It might be the case where, as being a very generous partner, you don't necessarily check the ID of all the partnerships that you're involved with. That would be my guess. You know. Also, the allegation that he liked to engage in the use of ecstasy and other things while he's being a very generous partner. So, I mean, you know, you're using drugs, lots of drugs, and you're a very generous partner, but we're supposed to believe you that you would never have relations or a partnership with a 17-year-old or someone. Sure. I'll take your word on that, buddy. Yeah. Just looking at him, this spray tan.
When there's stories coming out about him reeking of weed in Congress.
That's the best thing about him. Oh, he's showing naked photos and videos or whatever. Was it photos or videos or both? I don't know.
Both, I think.
Yeah, of all his sexual conquests, of all his partners. He's showing partnership photos. I'm going to show you my partnership portfolio now.
Very generously.
This is the one where her ass spread. And I've had business partners. None of them did that for me. Wow. Yeah.
Most time
I'm very generous.
It's very generous. Apparently she was, too.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's what a moron.
Moron? He's a fucker. And Cuomo's like, I love Matt Gaetz. People don't look at me anymore. It's the truth, though.
I don't know.
I got off scot-free.
No, I don't think he's...
I did, Scott.
No.
Is that a low-cut dress that you're wearing? Come here.
Andrew, get your hands off me.
You're not my type. I have a very specific type, and they all do look the same. Getz is like, whatever. I'm high on coke. No, not coke. We don't know that he was on coke. I don't know that he was on coke. You know, I could say it in a character. Hey, Wilford.
Yes. Matt Gaetz was on coke.
There we go. It was in a character. It was satirically saying.
But it.
I don't know that. I have many characters. I could say it as Steve Bodhi, who can go fuck himself. But Steve doesn't have a voice. That's not fair.
Well, you're kind of his voice.
Who? Steve Bodhi?
Yeah.
What would Steve Bodhi's voice sound like? Probably sound like Matt Gaetz.
It would sound like you quoting yourself.
You know what's strange?
That's what he does.
I have heard.
Steve Bodhi quoting himself?
No, that he has a business partnership with Matt Gaetz.
Oh, really?
Allegedly. In my opinion. That's what I've heard. I've got a wine shop. It's the only wine I sell is McManus. Except for the Zinfandel, because it's shitty.
Vendage.
The Pinot's on sale. You want to try that?
The McManus?
The McManus Pinot.
Why not?
So undervalued.
It's very undervalued. We like the McManus.
We did. You know what I almost bought?
They do a good job.
I saw Foxglove. But they didn't have Foxglove Pinot.
Isn't that something you take for surface fungal infections?
Foxglove? No. It's actually a sex toy. That this is Matt Gaetz, allegedly. You use the foxglove on my partners.
And then
in the hotel rooms I paid for because I'm very generous.
Venmoed.
I Venmoed them.
Venmoed green mode.
I Venmoed them a thank you.
With some foxglove in it.
Yes. I used to Venmo them by putting money on the nightstand, but that's so... 2002.
Yeah, so Greenberg was the Seminole County tax collector.
Yeah, the tax collector. Yes.
I'm your tax man. Hey, Matt Gaetz's tax man.
Apparently some people were...
He was just collecting taxes.
He's very behind in his taxes.
He was just collecting taxes. Matt Gaetz was just paying his taxes.
Yes, he was. He's very generous in that regard. Generous in that. Who pays taxes via Venmo? He wasn't even in that guy's area, too. He was like, well, I'll pay taxes.
I mean, no, he wasn't in the area because he was in a hotel room with his generous friends.
He's like the guy that goes around and he puts quarters in the meters for people. He's like a meter fairy.
That's it.
He's very generous. He just does it with Venmo.
I don't think he was putting quarters in that meter.
No, it's cost more than a quarter. You know, and he's also, he's got ecstasy in him, allegedly, so. He has glow sticks while he's doing that. So imagine, how many quarters would you drop on the ground if you're swinging glow sticks in the air and you have a pacifier in your mouth because you're high on X? Beware.
Jesus.
Listen to techno music. Boom, chick, boom, chick, boom, chick.
So here's a quote from...
I'm very generous.
Here's a quote from the Daily Beast. Greenberg's defense attorney, Fritz Scheller.
Yes.
Fritz. That's a name that gives you confidence. Fritz Scheller.
Hi. Declined I like Dornfelder.
But during a press conference after a hearing for the case, apparently he didn't completely decline comment, Scheller offered that the Florida congressman would probably not welcome the news that Greenberg was taking a plea deal.
No, I bet he wouldn't.
I'm sure Matt Gaetz is not feeling very comfortable today, Scheller said.
Well, maybe he'll be even more generous. I wonder how generous he'll be in prison.
Yeah, you know who usually gets the short end of the stick? The guy that gets charges get placed against after the first plea deal is made.
I'm pretty sure in prison he'll get the long end. Nevertheless,
he won't.
You know what his you know what his
day in hard prison.
You know what his oh, it'd be hard. You know what the cellmate is going to say? He was very generous. He's so generous.
You used to Venmo me on your cell phone.
Can you Venmo cigarettes? I don't think you can. I don't think you can do that, Matt. You might want to figure that out. The commissary. Yeah.
Wonder what kind of hair gel they got in the popo.
I think it's homemade. I'm sure he'll get plenty of that.
Yeah. We're bad men.
Not as bad as him. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Domaine du Berger Bourget
Jules de Soif.
Thank you, because I don't know if I could say it.
So, Jules de Soif.
Being very generous, Scott is going to start off. Are you going to Venmo your score?
I'm going to Venmo my score. I'll Venmo my score to you, and then you can never mind.
Mm.
What a lovely, you know... My buddy likes the Cab Franc. That's why I bought this for the show. And not disappointed. I was hopeful this would be good and did not disappoint.
This is just a glass of happiness.
It really is for us. And it's in our wheelhouse, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be in your wheelhouse too, folks. It's just, it's so easy. It's got so much going on.
Folks, I mean, if you want...
Cedar on the nose, cedar on the palate. Hello.
It's perfumey in a different way. Think of just you walk out in the forest and you're just enjoying the silence and the stillness of it. This wine kind of captures that essence of a colder climate. It's just beautiful.
It doesn't have those floral aromatics. No, but no, as no. Rob said, it's the piney yes, kind of thing.
The woodsy aromas that are just very, very light and subtle. But it's just you get the essence of it.
But expressed on the palate.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Slightly minerality. Beautiful fruit.
Yes.
Beautiful fruit. The texture of this wine
is top notch.
But the star of the show is the way you got that unusually late presentation of the tannins that yes. are just perfection from a French sense. You know, these aren't, this isn't a tannic bomb.
No, but it's very well done tannin.
But it's a beautiful expression of tannin.
Yes.
I can't go higher, but I'm going to go 91. I love this wine. Love this wine.
91 of your points.
Was headed 90, but it's 91. I talked myself into 91. It's just got too much going on.
That's very generous of you, Scott.
Well, listen, James Suckling here. Let me tell you about generous. I've got generous friends now.
I met Matt Gaetz once, and he said, you know, I have my friend Greenberg. And I said, I'm sorry, I ran out of phone minutes in Thailand. I don't have the moment. And he goes, Thailand, I love Thailand.
Don't worry, just Venmo Matt, he'll take care of you.
And I said, I'm a very generous partner myself, and I often pay for Tim's lodging and his hotel. Red Roof Inns are what Tim prefers, and normally I can pay by the hour, so it's quite efficient in that fashion. Tim likes Waffle House too, so
conveniently they're side by side.
They are. I've actually found some Red Roof Inns that have Waffle Houses inside them. It's quite nice. It's almost like a twofer.
Ask Matt Gaetz; he knows about the twofers.
That's true. Lovely. And on to May, folks. The score for this wine will start with a 9. That is inherent. This wine is a 9+. And I'm going to actually agree with Scott with a 91. I might be a little bit softer with my 91 than you.
Well,
but
91's a 91.
It's a 91. It's a Hall of Fame. The reason why it's a 91, not a 90, it really is what Scott, it's a complete wine. It's so special. I'm so sad that it's unavailable currently.
It really is sad that it's unavailable currently. Wish I'd bought 3 bottles of this.
But that's what it is.
How long has this been in the queue? 9 months? 6 months?
I don't know. Too long. Because if we had drank it earlier.
Did we mention that we think this could... I think this could go a little longer.
3 to 5 years, yeah. Yeah, the body is definitely there. The weight's there. Everything's there to do that. When I lament the fact that I can't buy more of it, that tells me right there that I want it. And if I want it, it's not an 88. It's not an 89. Hell, I'm like, I like this wine. And I move on with an 88, 89. If I want it, really want it, that isn't even a 90. A 90 I can live without. 91s? No, that's the start. It just tells me that something intrinsic in there that says I have to have this wine. And this is one of those wines.
Yeah.
Special, special, special. Mouthfeel that is so pleasing and inviting and opening. And the thing is, if a wine can make you imagine a scenario that makes it perfect, if it creates imagery in your mind.
Christmas Eve, snow, fireplace.
Yes, without using psychotropic drugs like Matt Gaetz allegedly would use. If it allows you to teleport yourself to different places where it would be wonderful to drink it that isn't a nursing home where someone named Charmaine is doing something with Scott in a coat room.
It's more of a closet.
Okay. If it does that, if it transports you, that tells you right there that wine is special. And this wine is special. Becky will never believe us. She will once again accuse us of nefarious things, even though she picked the first wine for the show. You know what she wanted tonight?
Mm-hmm. What?
Either that or the trash wine special with a conga and Cocano. And I don't know, she's in a dark place emotionally.
It's been on.
And I feel like I'm a very generous partner.
You let her choose.
That's true. I was very generous.
I can't believe she picked Freak Show.
Well, topically with the menu with the, you know, Gilbert that no one read, I suppose it's fine.
And Peanuts.
The kids, they want to watch and they like the songs from The Greatest Showman. They watched that today.
At the resort, we were just came back from vacation, folks. Both of us are vaccinated, so we felt safe to travel. But they have a pool where at 8 o'clock every night they'll put on a different film, and The Greatest Showman's on the queue. It was on Thursday night.
Did you watch it?
I didn't. Didn't go to watch The Greatest Showman.
I don't like the way Hugh Jackman sings. I have nothing against Hugh Jackman. I liked him as Wolverine.
No, he's a great singer.
But I don't like his voice.
He was great.
When Zac Efron's fake voice came on, it was much better. But
Hugh Jackman was great on Broadway. We saw him.
Well, I'm sure he's a great Broadway voice. I'm not saying he can't sing. I'm just saying I don't like his voice. I don't know why.
Well, you're intimidated.
I just didn't do anything for me. That being said, I know
he's too hairy for you? What?
No. I know that movie is a complete bullshit, you know, portrayal of, it means just like nonsense. It's complete fiction. But nevertheless, the kids love it. I don't know why they like that. They love it.
They understand talent better than you do, that's all.
No.
They do.
They like, I don't know why. It's like, watch more, I don't know. It was weird because they were both sitting there just watching these love songs. Henry actually started tearing up during a song. We're like, what's wrong with you? Nothing.
He's sensitive.
It's crazy.
He's more of a man of the world than you are.
I guess.
At 8.
I wanted to call him a pansy, but I didn't do that.
Well, that's because he knew he'd beat the shit out of you.
I was being nice. I was thinking, he'd shoulder you
in the balls again.
I was like, almost like, I'm going to slap both you two boys because this is bullshit. You're watching a bunch of shit. Man up. I'm going to turn on fucking Predator for you two little prissy boys.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. I was like, I don't know what to think here. This is concerning. Then I realized that's not really true. But
not really
at the same time, where the fuck is Predator? You need to watch some fucking Predator.
Predator's dated.
That's dated and it's new.
Well,
terrible.
It's a period piece. It's a period piece.
What, meaning you watch it once a month? It's terrible. Although,
you're so harsh.
I knew it was terrible
for
you.
But you weren't harsh on this wine.
Because I love this wine.
This wine's great.
Excellent job, Scott. Good eye.
This wine's great.
The fact that you bought one and not 10 and gave me 5 is a mark against your soul.
Yeah.
You are not a very generous partner. So, folks.
I could Venmo you 900.
You should. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
And Matt Gaetz's attorney.
We are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.